Hi, my name is Robin McCormick, and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. This podcast is about all things LAX. We wanted to bring you authentic, fresh, and inspiring information from coaches, players, and others in the lacrosse world, giving you the best up-to-date information in the game of lacrosse as it is evolving quickly. Thank you everyone for joining us today. My name is Robin McCormick and I am the Girls FCA Lacrosse Club Director. Welcome to our podcast series, All Things LAX with FCA Girls. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Willpower PT's Dr. Shannon Will. Thank you, Shannon, for joining us today. I'm just gonna read a little bit about Dr. Will. Dr. Will is the owner of Willpower PT. She has extensive experience in treating professional athletes and D1 collegiate and high school athletes. She is the performance and recovery coach for Calvert Hall varsity lacrosse team and has a background in collegiate coaching as assistant strength and conditioning coach for Loyola University men's lacrosse team. Dr. Will is passionate about treating the whole athlete. For some student athletes, the psychological response to injury can unmask mental health issues. In addition to rehab, she connects club teams with other healthcare professionals to benefit youth athletics. Willpower PT is the preferred PT partner of FCA Girls Lacrosse Club Program, which I'm proud to say. Dr. Will acts as the primary contact for FCA families at the time of injury, following tournament and game play. Dr. Will is the adjunct professor at her alma mater, University of Maryland, Baltimore, Physical Therapy Rehab Science. She serves her Baltimore community through Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, One Love Foundation, and promotes healthy lifestyles through partnerships with Under Armour, Pure Raw Juice, and Juice Plus. Welcome my friend, new mom, and business owner, Dr. Will.
Thank you.
Yes, so much. It's neat to hear all about yourself and all the things you've done and
overdue.
So, Dr. Will, I don't know if you want to just kind of say how we met, a little bit about the journey of how you and I met, and a little bit about, you know, then how we've kind of partnered with FCA Girls.
Yeah, I think what was cool, I mean, this is now a while, Robin, but I feel like it's been probably 3 years ago now. I hosted a ACL injury prevention training with my good friend Kara from Elite Lacrosse. And we were just brainstorming, now thinking back to our conversations with Kara and I, we were brainstorming how we could maybe work together. And I said I wanted to potentially kind of been wanting to do something like this. And I was like, well, why don't I just try it out? And then we kind of left it open to a lot of her connections and my connections and people signing up. And we got girls from different club teams. And then you came with your daughter. I think that was Finola, right?
Yes.
And then at the end, I remember that, you know, parents were watching and stuff like that, or just picking up their kids. I remember you approached me afterwards and we're like, wow, like this could be really cool for our club. And I was like, and I remember, you know, we chatted about what we could maybe do with the club. And I remember leaving that day being like, wow, one, it was like such a great session. I had a fun time with Kara and all the girls. And then two, I didn't know that something would come from that where it was like, wow, someone else might be interested in this. So I, you know, and I just kind of was just like happy to have met you as a parent and as a mom and as a coach. And I was like, just like, it's just cool to meet people. I didn't think anything of it. But then as we got to talking, it developed into now 3 years of doing ACL injury prevention for each one of your 4 to 6 teams now, or just all the different age groups that you are continuing to grow with FCA, and that we created a two-week course, you know, 1 week developing kind of the base level foundational skills, and then the next really tapping into more of plyometrics or motor control with the ACL leg and things like that. So now we have a 2 week kind of back-to-back course with each of your teams. And then also on top of that, because of our relationship with, you know, myself and Robin, but also all the coaches that Robin, you invited me to your house with all the coaches, and just meeting the parents and a lot of the players now we're an official partner with FCA, meaning that, you know, I give my personal cell phone number out to the team parents. And if something happens at a tournament or a game or an injury happens and they just don't really know where to turn to for questions or the next steps, we can, you know, they call me directly and I'm pretty much like the, just that consult of like, hey, you know, you should be going to patient first right now, or this is what you should be doing. And then following up if need be after that. So it's been an awesome process of just every year, our relationship just keeps growing. So, I mean, just looking back on it, it's been awesome. And we can keep talking about, we've done other events together with, you know, Dr. T, mindset training with One Love, with Morgan's Message. So now I feel like both of us, you've challenged me and I've challenged you, you and your kind of club team to let's do even more things together and impact more people. So that's been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like as soon as we met, you know, I came to that ACL and I stayed to that ACL prevention because I just felt like there was such value in it. And I really was, as a club director, trying to set us apart and grow the program. And I had this, you know, from coming from my background of being a personal trainer, life wellness coach, like I just had such a passion and a collegiate athlete myself with pouring in and really serving the whole athlete. Mm-hmm. And when you and I talked and we developed our relationship, it just seemed like we both partnered in that mindset of it's the body, it's the physical stuff, it's mental, the importance mm-hmm. of the mental part. And then of course for FCA, you know, we're spiritually based and we're laying the foundation for these young girls about who they are in Christ. And so me, it was just that whole athlete piece. And I think you helped me confirm as a healthcare professional yourself, like, yeah, this is valid. Like you have something and we need to, you know, I love starting it when they're young, like middle school age. And that's what we're doing. Like you said, we've been doing the ACL and the mindset training with Dr. T, mm-hmm. partnering with One Love and, you know, doing a whole message for our high school students for One Love. And then also with the Morgan's Message, I mean, partnering. Tell me, I know as I've mentioned, you are also very passionate about the whole athlete. What does it mean to you? You've heard from me to serve the athlete from your position at, you know.
I think the reason I created this company too was I was working at a place which I really loved, and my past places I really enjoyed, but there wasn't enough time. It was more of a business. And I know things, you know, we all have to make money, we all have to have a job, but at the end of the day, like we were just stacking patients over top of each other back to back. And the conversation, I was getting to know my clients, but it's hard when there's somebody else they don't know next to them, or somebody else not their age coming in or next, you know what I'm saying? Like the conversation doesn't flow as nicely when it's not, they don't know the people around them. So I felt like I was missing a component of getting to know them as an athlete. If something was off that day, like I'm seeing these people 2 to 3 times a week. So you really get to know like kind of their mood and everything. And so I just felt like I needed more time with each patient, one, to develop more skills physically, where if I am telling a patient over there to do something, I'm clearly not looking at the form over here, or I'm not like pushing them to like, give me that extra push. Squeeze isometric squeeze, like do that harder, or like push that weight up faster. Like when someone's like next to you, like telling you to do things, you're going to work harder, just like any, you know, just when anybody works out, right? So you're getting better results. So if I'm, as a practitioner, just, you know, spreading myself thin, one, physically, I don't think they're pushing the envelope because I'm distracted. And then two, I don't think I'm getting to know their limitations physically or mentally, their limitations, or maybe what they're apprehensive about, or maybe this motion really was how they initially got injured and it makes them nervous. Or even like I've had incidences where even, you know, if cupping might kind of signify bruising or like something emotional that happened in their past, and they're not going to say that out loud in a room with all these people, but they might, you know, just like anything can really come up. And it's just, I really important to listen to these young athletes, where, you know, right next to them, another girl might be getting cupping done, but she might not feel comfortable or be afraid to tell me that. And so I just think it really, you don't realize that a lot of things can come up in conversation, from even trauma in the past, anxiety, depression, bulimia, eating disorders, where males and females really open up in the process of this physical recovery, a really big mental component. And the more that our business has now been open and thriving and the word of mouth, I mean, now it's been almost 4 years. We just really have a great community here that I don't think I could have established at the other places, just because the model was just how many patients can we get through the door? How many more evals can we get in? And it was more about the financial aspect of it instead of the quality.
Yeah, I feel like too, like as I've continued to grow with you as well, I am so appreciative of you and your team. My whole family has seen your team, you know, Dr. John, Dr. Corinne, yourself. And every time I come, it is you're promoting healing by just how you treat everyone, how you care for them. It is very authentic. It is not like you're saying, you're just a number. We're just pining you through. And I've been in PT for years myself, training, doing, you know, triathlons, things like that as I've gotten older. And so PT has become part of my life as an adult. So I just feel like I've seen one version, and then I've come into your office, and I know I've said it to you before that I'm so grateful that when I come here, I feel uplifted. I feel like, you know, I'm getting, like you're saying, one-on-one care.
Right.
And I've built a friendship. So like you're saying, yeah, these athletes that are coming to you, it's very important that you're building relationship. And I think the environment to what you've created helps promote healing. And, you know, so I just feel like, you know, that's why we continue to come and as a program really support you. You know, I think we both care about community. I think we've already talked about that a little bit, but like doing it alone versus partnering and really having the same, you know, goals and love for young athletes is what more would you want, you know?
Right.
So, you know, you see so many athletes day to day in your office. I mean, one after the other. What do you feel are today's athletes' biggest needs physically and mentally?
So I think different than when I was playing in high school and just kind of growing up in the same community, similar schools that my athletes went to, I think that there's just very limited time for recovery. There's limited time for having a sit down meal with your family that's not just on the go between practices. And there's limited time for sleep because you're doing homework as you get home. And obviously, like, I did rec and I did club and high school and all these things. It's not tremendously different, but you throw on training on top of that. You throw on, you know, even PT, that's another thing to go to. And I just think that, like, the athletes are being really run thin sometimes because there's never a break. So I think, like, sometimes, you know, in the summertime, I get a lot of conversations about, like, oh, should we go on this vacation? I'm like, skip that tournament. I know, like, the recruiting thing is, you know, the whole, you know, obviously a very big goal, and I'm not trying to downplay that, but, you know, vacation with your family to just, like, really check out and have that time. Like, it's a very natural break. And I kind of, like, encourage parents to just, you know, have some time where it's just like, nope, we're not going to go to that tournament. It's like, we're doing, you know, X thing with our family or whatever. So I think it just circles back to still trying to prioritize time with family, with friends, eating dinners together, getting your sleep is important. And also education too, because the main thing is when we put so much pressure on sports, when an injury happens, their identity is only the sport. And so that's why we're seeing more of potentially eating disorders coming about, or depression or anxiety, because when you take the sport away, that was their sense of stress relief. Like, especially for me, I love to run, kind of, you know, clear my head a little bit. When you tell someone that they can't run, or they physically can't because of, you know, they broke their ankle or something, it really impacts them mentally. So I think our practice model allows the conversations to come up because the athletes are just handling so much. So I think the biggest limitation is time with our athletes is, you know, wanting to go to these amazing trainers and these amazing strength coaches and physical therapists. And we're all there to help the athlete, but sometimes it can just be too much. And sometimes all they need is to just really go back to the main ways that we can recover. The main ways we recover is nutrition and sleep. And that's proven, right? Even my job is to help with that when those things don't happen. So I think kind of really go back to the basis and really establish that sense of self and purpose and identity, but also with your family and time.
Yeah, I love all that. And I think it's very like I that exact thing happened to me when you said I was told I couldn't run. I came out of college, I started doing triathlons, and then I had a chronic hip issue, and I just, you know, kept pushing through, and then the doctor finally said, I think it's time you stop running. And I was only in my 30s. And I went to therapy. I went to just because it was the first time in my life I didn't have running as an outlet. And I just felt so like vulnerable. Like I didn't know how to kind of move forward. And I think that was the first, you know, I accepted, you know, this is how I process stress. This is how, and so when it was taken, so I think for our athletes, just realizing like one, it's okay to get help. It's okay to talk through it. Okay. To even utilize yourself as kind of like someone like a sounding board, because you're seeing kids in and out with these injuries and the same mindset that, you know, that time, you know, nutrition, sleep, spending time with their family, like all of that balance is truly important to set them up for success. I guess, you know, and I was just going to ask too, like with injuries and surgeries, because you're seeing kids come right out of surgery, right? They're having their ACL surgery, they're coming right to you. How do you feel like you're helping them achieve, like to get back to where they were or achieve the goals that they're looking for after, you know, to meet those goals, right? Like you can do it, you can come back and you can be just as strong of a player as you were before.
Right. I think it's all about setting expectations. And the hardest thing is you tell someone you're going to run exactly on this date. And if they're not strong, like for example, a lot of people say for ACL rehab, running happens in exactly 3 months. But the problem is if they're not strong enough at 3 months to run, then they're really upset with themselves that they are behind or whatever that might be, right? Or say they, you know, even if they come to us, you know, from another place at 2 months, or they, you know, it doesn't, they just like have these timelines set in their head. And I think the main thing is just to kind of dial that back and just like, for example, in ACL rehab, like we have 9 to 12 months, I would say that full year, and we're going to make gains every single day getting better. But your path is going to be different than the person next to you. And everybody, the hot topic is ACLs, right? And so there's going to be a lot of comparison. So I think the main thing is just talking about, hey, it's easy to compare and be like, oh, well, I was running by this, I was jumping by this mark, but let's take it at our own pace. Obviously, like we're going to progress and push the envelope as much as we can within, you know, kind of your strength limitations and gains. But I think always making it individualized. So just being like, hey, let's just like focus me and you. You're going to have some outline like stressors, but let's kind of keep that focus there. I think that's the main thing, is just centering it back to this is our care. It's a different path than anybody else. And also that makes them feel important too. That makes them feel like, okay, like it's very individualized instead of cookie cutter, the same exercises for each patient. It's really about like, what are their limitations compared to their other leg, compared to their goals. And then also just like getting back to like talking to them about their goals each day when they come in, even, or like, I really want to hit, you know, this number on the back squat, or I want to do a full rotation on the bike to have my knee bend. Like, you know, it's always talking about, you know, what do you want to get better at? And even when we get down the line, where they're feeling maybe a little sore, but, or maybe a little bit unstable, it's like, okay, well, tell me how that last practice was and tell me a drill where you wish you did it better. And then I'm going to break that drill down into a couple different components to then build it back up and build your confidence within this drill. So we really talk every session about the very specific details of, you know, going back into a practice, going back into gameplay. So I'm really with them that whole cycle and not just, okay, see ya, no more PT as soon as you can walk or as soon as you can run. There's so many performance limitations that we can carry over with. And then also I collaborate with our strength coaches here, with even other neighboring strength coaches that they're with, or their school strength coaches, to make sure that we're always getting better on the performance aspect. So they really feel like they're 100%, 110% themselves after a surgery.
Yeah, I mean, so many things running through my mind as you're talking, because I feel like the way you just even presented that about the communication that you have with your clients that are young athletes, that you're treating them like they are an advocate for their selves. Like you're partnering with them, you're talking through it, you guys are working back and forth, you're willing to work with their strength coaches and their, you know, it's a collaboration. It's just hard to find that. And I love that you're doing that, because again, it empowers the kid, you know, the athlete that, you know, I can take part in my healing. I don't just have to listen to, you know, my PT talk at me, and, you know, it's a partnership. And, I do feel like, you know, and you can maybe talk a little bit about your model and why you've made your model what it is, because,
I think that's the biggest difference, I would say, too, because Robin, I think the main thing is there's so many great PTs surrounding us. And I definitely encourage, like, you know, it's all about relationships, too, of like who you bond with. I think it comes back to, for example, it doesn't seem a big difference to the patient, but on the physical therapist side of things, when you have a patient booked every 45 minutes and there's not a break in between them, you have to go right into the next patient. So if I'm treating Robin from 9 to 9:45, and then say Tim comes in 9:45 to 10:30, Robin might be running a little late. She might be asking some more questions. Tim might be coming early and he's getting warmed up. And there's this period of 10 minutes that I'm managing two people. And I also haven't documented anything. There's no time to be like, you know what, Robin, I got to talk to your athletic trainer about, you know, what type of kind of reintegration into kind of gameplay I want to do with your coaching and athletic training staff. I don't have any time for that. Right. I don't have any time to maybe talk to the parents and update them. The parents are like, what the heck? Like, my daughter's coming home telling me different stuff. And the parents are a little bit lost. And then Tim comes in and then it doesn't feel like I'm kind of properly giving the attention he needs as I'm finishing up with Robin. Maybe we had a stressful day. So it's kind of like with my model, we have 45 minutes, 9 to 9:45. On the 45 to the hour, you know, I am kind of like, you know, answering those last bit of questions and then preparing for the next patient and finishing up with, say, Robin. So, for example, I would then text the parents and be like, hey, this is the update, because a lot of high schoolers drive themselves. I would be texting the athletic trainer or the coach if they need an update. And just making sure that, and I know that seems really simple, but like when everybody is supporting that athlete, their team, their family, their athletic trainer, their strength coach, their club coach, then everybody feels supported. And I think that's why people are drawn to our practices, because those 15 minutes are crucial to make the connections in the community once again for that athlete to succeed mentally, physically, and performance wise, because they're always pushing the envelope instead of rushing them out the door. And then also just like not having time, and now I'm on to the next person. So it seems really, as a patient, you don't know that coming in, but because I set that up, and as a business owner, I mean, I'm just being truthful, no one's paying my business in those 15 minutes. We're not making money as a business then. That's why so many businesses do not allow that. But for me, the word of mouth, and for people to come through the door, we need those 15 minutes to prepare and conclude that patient's care. And I think that's crucial.
Yeah, I also think with other PTs, like there's that gap because they are only mostly going through insurance. There's that gap of back to play. And that to me is really important, because once you come out of a surgery or you're coming to you, it has to be, you know, through a script or they have to, and then it ends. And then they have a gap where confidence building back up to being who they were is it, like, that's the mental health piece, you know, that's like, come on, come to me. We're going to keep pushing you until you're fully ready to be fully back on the field. So I think that's also another part of your model. That's really, you know, just, you're just taking them back all the way until they're fully like, let's go back on the field.
Right. And that doesn't mean that they're coming in three times a week the whole time. They might be coming twice a week after a surgery, and then we go once a week, and then once every other, and then once a month. But the good thing is they never feel like the care is dropped off. Obviously, they're more and more independent. They might be seeing more of a strength coach instead of us as frequently, which is great because that collaboration is there, but they're never feeling lost and they're only getting better. They're not dropping off.
And I think that's another part of healing is not feeling alone in that journey.
Right. Right.
That's huge. Well, so I feel like, you know, what, and maybe we've covered this already, but, you know, what do you hear the most in your office? You know, because kids are chatting from pressures to what's mm-hmm. just going on in their world. What do you hear the most? And it might not be about the injury or coming for a recovery session. It, you know, just what are your athletes talking about?
Yeah, I think, well, two things. I think when the summer season comes, and I know that the club recruiting is very intense, you know, people are talking about the colleges and stuff like that. I love hearing when kids are also passionate about their education too, about how they really like the major they might be going into, the different courses the school provides, and talking about, you know, I always kind of urge them to kind of talk more about the college and what they like about that college, of different aspects of it in terms of the communities there, other than just the lacrosse team, but also about the lacrosse team, about the people, you know, maybe the athletes above them, the coaching staff, like what makes them feel important there. So I think the main thing is just talking through that whole process with them, just as like a merely like a friend or a colleague, and just being a sounding board. So that's a big point of conversation. Honestly, another thing too is just we like to have fun in our office. We talk about a lot of random stuff. And so I think in a great way, we like to change the topic from some stressful stuff to just kind of letting people just be who they are. And we're laughing in there, and we have a great dynamic with our team too. I mean, even just me, Corinne, and John, we laugh amongst ourselves all day. And I just feel like we draw a lot of energy to the three of us, which is awesome. So I think a lot of players come in just to, you know, just kind of let loose a little bit too, which is important because sometimes it's just really intense conversations they're having on a daily basis.
Yeah. And that just goes back to what I said about your atmosphere. It is very true to that, as I've been in it myself. So I really appreciate that as well. So, you know, we serve female athletes here at FCA Girls, and you are a female business owner. This is your fourth or fifth year?
It'll be fourth end of the summer. Yeah.
Okay. So what comes to mind when you think of running this business?
Mm-hmm. Goodness. I'm proud of myself for getting to this point. I learn something new every single day. Really it's the business part that is the most challenging. I know how to be a PT. I know how to treat. I know how to connect with my patients. I enjoy that every single day. I think the business part and wearing all the hats of the business is really challenging. I think as a female too, the sports realm is sometimes dominated with a more male-driven kind of culture, and a lot of male business owners kind of surrounding me, which I tremendously look up to too. I think a lot of people have created amazing practices. It's just something different. You know, like I think people are drawn to supporting a female owned business too. I think it's just like, it's unique. And I think people are looking for something unique. I think people are looking for something to support each other. But I have to say, it is hard sometimes, you know, and my mom always coaches me. It's like, sit up tall, shake hands, look, you know, look somebody in the eye. Sometimes, you know, some male figures that I meet are purposely kind of intimidating, or kind of like, you know, belittling to me sometimes. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm really proud of what I've created and what my team has created here. And I think no matter what, I know my value, and I'm more confident in myself, in my business skills, in my professional skills, in the way that I speak. And so I think each year I'm just growing as more of like a leader within myself. And I think that's kind of cool to see and cool to look back on, because there's a lot of things that I was maybe more emotional about. And now, you know, I actually, my colleague Brandon here at Top Athlete, he even said, like, you know, when you're doing well business-wise and you're growing, people are sometimes going to want to knock you down. But that just means that, not that you're a threat, but you're just doing well. You're just you're confident in what you're doing and people are seeing that. And sometimes you get, you know, maybe a little bit more stressed out or whatever, but you just get a harder and harder shell and you just get stronger.
Yeah, amen. I love that authentic response, Dr. Will, because, you know, I feel that as well, you know, just being a female director and, you know, we are blessed to have the a boys club as well. There's not many clubs doing a boys and a girls side. And
right.
I think just navigating, you know, I have a junior team that I coached since they were fourth grade and just watching them turn into young women and like speaking truth into them and hopefully empowering them. Because I definitely see them as business owners and, you know, whatever they want to be. But I think really, you know, I tell them, you know, you got to take the boardroom seriously because you might be the only female in that boardroom one day. And,
right.
And you have to, like you said, look them in the eye, sit up straight, take yourself seriously and really, promote yourself like on Instagram, all these ways that you can put yourself out there to really be thoughtful of what you're putting out there and just that you are representing, you know, more than yourself, you know. So I really appreciate that answer. I, you know, this has been on Instagram lately where it says girls who play sports become women who lead.
I love that.
You know, I think, you know, we've kind of answered it already, but do you think there's more pressure on females today and just the balance of their schedule? And you know, your mom as well, you know, just a new mom. And so balancing all of that, how do you find you handle all of the pressure and just day-to-day balance?
Yeah, I think I love having and treating high school girls in here because sometimes I feel like I'm right back to high school when they're telling me stories and stuff like that. But I just think it's such a great time to just enjoy being a high schooler and just being a teammate, being a leader. And I just remind them too, like, hey, like, you know, even though lacrosse might be your main sport, like still try to play basketball or volleyball or, you know, just have fun by just having different groups of friends. You don't have to be the best one on every team. And just being a really good teammate is just great skills to develop. So, you know, I always encourage them, you know, like even if you're not good at it, if you're having fun, like continue to do that. That's just such a great place to be, is being with your friends in high school. Like those are the best memories. But I think now in terms of the stressors of, you know, I think women in general, like wear a lot of hats, just like in the workplace, as a mom, as a friend, and you just always like, you're not, you know, you sometimes like we want to please people and we put ourselves last sometimes. So I think my main thing, especially after becoming like a recent mom, is just making sure I have time for myself too, because I know I'm a better person if I, you know, I like to read books, I like to go to yoga, I like to go on walks or on runs, and I really do need some more personal time to just kind of like clear my head and just be more present with my family, my team, my husband, the people I work with. And so I think my goal is just that I need that kind of check-in time, sometimes journaling, going to church too. That's something that I want to do more of, and something that me and my family and my daughter want to do more of together too. So I just think I have these different goals, but also just like a lot of grace for myself that there's not enough time in the day sometimes. So just kind of focus on those couple important things. And each day those important things might change, but at least we're dedicating that time to what we set forward in our goals that day.
That's right. Yeah. Grace for yourself is always a beautiful thing. You know, we just, you know, one step at a time, I think. And I think the balance of what you're speaking of is 100% necessary to, so that it doesn't build up and we don't burn out, you know, so love that. What are the top three things would you say? I think you're doing amazing and success is coming. What are the top three things that you see? I say three, mm-hmm. three, two, that have made you successful, that have made, you know, your team successful.
Yeah, I think, goodness, top three things. I think at the end of the day, we always talk about this is just when we feel like, how do I say this? I think that if we just stay organic to ourselves and not try to be other people or not try to be other companies, and we just stick to who we are, organically, we just see more growth within our business, within our personal schedules, that the word of mouth is just growing for each therapist and overall for our team. So I think the more that we are just genuine and we stay present as we're here, that is really rewarding. So I think the more that I come in and, you know, I might have stress, we all might have stress at home, and we definitely have had different things that have gone on here at the Top Athlete family and Willpower family. But as long as we're like happy here, it attracts that energy from other people. So I think that's one thing that's made us a really great team and for business growth and personal growth. I think personally wise, like my family has been like just great supporters. Like my husband, like, you know, there's a lot of stress building this business in the beginning. And also my mom, I hired her as my admin. And so she's like an official employee of the company, which has been really rewarding. She's the backbone of the business of helping with all those things. So I think me delegating to my team is also really important. John and Corinne are awesome. And they've encouraged me to delegate things more and more so we can share that growth and that some of those stresses together. So I think taking that feedback is really important. And then, I don't know. The last thing is just like still try to have fun, like making sure you put work down on the weekends and having that time to recharge. And then when you come back on Monday, you know, life is like really short. So I think like, okay, like instead of being like, oh, I can't wait till the day is over and wishing it away. Like my mom told me, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, I got to get past this month. And then, you know, I have my new hire coming. And my mom's like, why are you always wishing it away? Like you're always talking about the future. Like, just be in the moment and be present. So like every day before I go to work, it's just like, instead of like, oh, I can't, you know, can't wait to get home to my daughter, Finley. It's like, I can't wait to see my patients and see my team during the day. And I just really come in with better energy. And I feel like that mindset talking kind of thing has really helped.
Boy, as you have kind of expressed, it is a journey. And so we're constantly learning. And even for our athletes, you know, we're navigating through, what does middle school look like? What does high school ball look mm-hmm. like? And then maybe collegiate, or what does our injury journey look like? And so we have to constantly be looking for that feedback and looking for those growth places. Right. So top three things are kind of, you know, continue to stay authentic to your own mm-hmm. business and to kind of stay in your lane, like not be looking at what everyone else is doing all the time. Support. Right. I say that's huge, because when you're faced with opposition and challenges, or just, you know, maybe it's just a little breakthrough and growth, it can be difficult. And so your support system is huge. And then delegating, as you mentioned, delegating is a piece of that as well, because you need to have that balance. And you need, you know, I've found through this FCA girls journey, like, the people that I've brought in with their giftings have become mm-hmm. such a light in my life, or they're just teaching me, or it's just so great to, again, better together, doing it, bringing people, giving them, empowering them into a job that maybe they didn't think they could. You know, I've loved that. And then having fun. So we have to try to keep that at the forefront, because without fun, I'm just trying to, one of the college, I think it was the BC coach. She was just saying that if you lose your sense of wonder and fun for the game, it's just like, you cannot mm-hmm. get to that next level. So
true, right?
We're all looking to level up. What is your favorite thing about your job?
Oh gosh, favorite thing about my job. I mean, there's so many things I feel like. Honestly, I like just going back to like, I feel like my patients have become like people I can joke around with, and they make me laugh so hard. I feel like sometimes I'll go home and be like, and talk to my husband about it, and he doesn't even get it. He's just like, what is happening? But it's just like, there's just like, it's just fun, like not even inside jokes, but it's just like, there's just so much laughter that like, you're just like, I don't even know how we got into this conversation. And it also takes me letting loose too. Like I share stories about myself and growing up and mistakes that I've made and, you know, whatever it is in life, like it could be, you know, so many funny different stories, but I open up too. And people are like, what the heck? Like, you know, And I just think it's, you know, I just going back to having fun. And I think like, I think I come home with a different story every day. And we look back on stories as a team. And I just think it's like so rewarding to just have that sense of fun, like we talked about.
Yeah. Our church did a series on wonder and like God's wonder, like how does it rain in the middle of the ocean? And, you know, like just wondering, yeah, like the way kids think. And, you know, for right. me, again, this podcast means a lot because I want people to leave thinking, or maybe thinking for themselves, mm-hmm. like, wow, what is my sense of wonder during my day? How do I right. laugh? How do I process? How do I have fun? Am I having fun? Mm-hmm. You know, like, so right. I think for the athletes to be thinking of that, parents that are listening, coaches that are listening, just making sure you do have that wonder and fun and laughter in your life. Couple last things. What is Dr. Yeah. Will's favorite coffee? What's your coffee?
I like it. Just black coffee. I know it's so boring.
When you go to Starbucks, I feel like I've picked you up one before.
What? I know. See, I try to be more interesting. I get overwhelmed when someone asks me for coffee because like I hate paying money for just black coffee. And like it's, you know, sometimes, but then when someone asks me what they should get, I'll get more of like the sugary whatever drink that like normally I wouldn't have on a daily basis. So like I get excited when someone offers it, but then I have this anxiety of the order, which is hilarious. But just black coffee, just every day one cup of black coffee.
Well, that works. Straight up black coffee. I love it. Okay, in one quick word or phrase, what should all athletes eat?
I hope people would say protein. I would say, what should athletes eat every day? Gosh, you know, it's so funny because I think my husband loves peanut butter and jellies. And even Brandon here, it's like when you want to gain weight or whatever, peanut butter and jellies. But peanut butter and jellies for me are just such a comfort food and just easy. And it just feels like home. It feels like a lunchbox you went to elementary school. So I think a peanut butter jelly a day.
Yes. That's quick carbs, quick protein. There you go. Okay. And one quick word or phrase, what should athletes do daily?
I think athletes should foam roll daily. I have foam rolled like now, like once a day. And even through my pregnancy, like it cracks my back, like 2 minutes on the foam roller. I feel way looser. My sciatica, my hips, my mid back. If you could do 2 minutes of foam rolling, it's way cheaper than going to any trainer, any PT. So staying up with that, with your IT bands and things like that, such a physical therapy type of answer right there. But I think just like cheapest thing possible, easiest thing is just foam rolling.
And water. I can confirm that, yeah. Because foam rolling, I do it like you're saying every day, maybe a couple times a day, just a few minutes at a time. It doesn't have to be like this long drawn out thing. You can get on.
No.
All right. Last one. One quick word or phrase. What should all athletes tell themselves daily, or just what they should be telling themselves?
Yeah, I think we all take things so seriously. And I think when the teams, like even I forget, like one of the Ravens games, even you saw like Lamar Jackson on the sidelines and they're like jumping around having fun. And we're like, obviously we're winning. That's why they're having fun too. But I think like when we're really just like more comfortable in ourselves and just letting loose a little bit, and also letting some grudges go away, maybe with a certain teammate, or maybe a grudge about yourself about the last play wasn't as good. And I think, you know, Dr. T preaches this too, is the next play is the best play type of situation. I love when he says that, but I really think just like kind of take it, honestly, like I just want athletes to like literally take a deep breath. And this sounds silly, but my husband and I will take like 3 long deep breaths, like when we get home and like just like decompress from the day. And all of a sudden, like after 3 deep breaths, like I just feel a little bit clearer, but like really like take those deep breaths when you're feeling stressed. And it really helps recenter you to what's important in the moment.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you. You've been, and just so all of our listeners know, like I don't prep our guests. So I tell them a kind of what we're going to ask. So you did an amazing job. I thank you for being a great, a great participant and just going with the flow because I think it just makes it more authentic. So thank you so much. I'm excited to just continue our partnership and just looking forward to great things in the future.
Yay, I can't wait. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you, Dr. Will.